I just pray that the words of that last song would just resonate within our hearts. Lord, nothing has the power to save like your name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we come celebrating the child who is born Savior, Messiah, and Lord. And we just pray that today, Lord, that we would come in this place lifting up the name of Christ. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for making the way for us to be in relationship with you. Dear Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, that precious child who lived the perfect life and laid down his life for each one of us. Lord, we just pray that today that your Spirit would just be moving. Lord, as we have extra time of sharing and celebration and song, Lord, may our hearts be full of the joy that you give us, Lord, because of the birth of the Christ child. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to encourage you, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 2. I believe the children, the older children, are going to stay in today, I believe. They didn't leave. They're staying in, right? Okay. You know, this week, you may have seen in the news that there were two winners of $648 million. Now, I don't play. It's probably, some of you are like, well, that's good. You're an Alliance pastor. You better not play. You grew up in the Alliance. You understand that. But, you know, imagine for a moment what that must have been like for one of those two individuals who found out that they were winning, splitting $648 million. I mean, you take the taxes out, split it two ways. That's still a good chunk of change. And yet, you know, I always am amazed. I kind of buy Dave Ramsey's philosophy is that you're better to invest the money than play the lottery. He calls it a stupid tax. I mean, that's, I'm not trying to offend anyone, but the reality is it's not a wise use of our funds, and there's a lot of other things I could share about the lottery. But I want you to think about for a moment just that the odds of actually being able to hear that good news that you're a winner. From what I understood this week, the Mega Millions jackpot, the odds of winning were 1 in 259 million. And I love some of the statistics that were put out this week of just trying to compare the odds of winning that, being the winning ticket this week, compared to a lot of other things, some of which I really don't understand why they even tried to determine this, but odds of getting struck by lightning in your lifetime, 1 in 3,000. It's 1 in 3,000 versus 1 in 259 million. This is the one I don't understand. Odds of being injured by a toilet this year. If you're a plumber, this might be different. I don't know, but 1 in 10,000. I really would like an asterisk next to that just with some explanation of just how those injuries occur. But odds of being killed by a shark, 1 in 3.7 million. Again, that's compared to 1 in 259 million. Odds of dying from an asteroid or comet, between 1 in 3,000 and 1 in 250,000. Odds of your car hitting a deer in Hawaii, the state that is least likely to occur, is 1 in 687,000. Now, obviously, the odds here, most of us, probably over 50% of the people in this room have hit a deer here. But you know, there's good news is kind of a funny thing. And only you can hear people share good news. And typically, unless it affects you directly or if it's close friends or family, the idea of good news doesn't always connect. I mean, I'm not real excited about that person that won, split all that money this week. Don't know them. But, you know, I am excited about people that I know that are experiencing something they want to celebrate. And I asked permission. Ryan and Crystal had written a letter to the church family, and I just want to read this. Dear church family, as so many of you have been faithfully praying for and encouraging us over the past several years, we wanted to be wanted you to be among the first to know that we are in the early process of adopting a baby boy. God brought this miracle into our lives, and we are trusting him to continue to work out the details. We're asking you to join us in praying for the baby, as well as for his birth mother. Our hearts ache when we think of how hard this decision has been for her. We also ask that you'd be praying that all the legalities and the paperwork would move swiftly, as this baby boy is due in March. It's been amazing to see the different ways God has worked over the past couple weeks and years to bring this together. We are thanking God for another miracle baby at Christmas time. Love, Ryan and Crystal Newfer. And I know... I know many of you have been walking alongside Ryan and Crystal, and you understand the significance of that news, and we're just excited to be able to continue walking and praying with you through that journey, and just so excited for you. But, you know, that idea of good news, that's really at the center of our characters today in the Christmas story, the shepherds. God chose the shepherds. Of any of the people he could have chosen, he chose the shepherds to announce good news, not just to the shepherds, but to each one of us. And we're going to look at Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And the angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you this is born, this day in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those whom he has pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. You know, the shepherds, we don't have too many shepherds. Any shepherds in the audience here? Not something we typically understand in our culture, but the shepherds are basically the average Joe. In Pittsburgh, when I ministered there, I said, this is your steel worker. This is the guy that's going to the plant each day, and there's nothing special about the individual. You could say here, someone that's going to report to Blair or report to the refinery each day. It's just the average worker. It's the average man doing their job. They're watching over their sheep by night, and God chooses this group of shepherds to hear the most incredible birth announcement that could ever be given. A birth announcement, typically a birth announcement is something that, again, unless it's your family or friends, like sharing with Ryan and Crystal today, typically a birth announcement is something that really is only meaningful and significantly meaningful for those in whom it impacts, those that are close to those that are giving the announcement of the birth of a child. But the shepherds are chosen to hear not only about the birth of a child that would impact them, but that would impact the world. And today I want us to really focus in on verses 10 and 11 of this chapter. I just want us to think for a second about that good news. And think about the impact for each of us, about what that good news means for each of us. Luke 2:10 says, And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That word, I bring you good news, is actually one word in Greek. And so it's a verb, it's an action, the idea of bringing news, bringing good news to someone. And it's, that word is actually at the heart of what we call the gospel. In the Christian church, it's from this word that we have the concept of the gospel, the good news of the birth of Christ, the good news of who Christ is as the Savior of the world. Here we have a phrase, though, it's not only that we are bringing the good news, it's bringing the good news of great joy. So the news that the shepherds would hear and the news that all that would hear was to bring great joy. And I love the fact that the Greek word for great here is mega. I think most of us get that. Mega joy. Teenagers, I think, would understand that. The idea of it's big. It's a great, it's a tremendous announcement that's going to bring joy to the heart of every man and every woman. We're going to look in verse 11 in a second and unpack that as to why it brings joy. But I just want us to try to imagine yourselves, each of us, imagine ourselves in the shepherd's role, being the ordinary person, being chosen by God to hear this incredible news. The shepherds were longing and they were waiting. They were waiting with expectation for the Messiah to come. They understood the significance of this announcement. They understood that this was the Messiah, the anointed one, the chosen Savior that God was sending to Israel. The shepherds understood, and they were longing, they were waiting, and they understood how privileged they were that God would choose to reveal this message and to give this message to them. You know, I remember a few years ago, I'm trying to remember how old the girls are now, but one of my close friends from Pittsburgh, I had walked with them through multiple attempts to have children, and it was I had many heartbreaking times of prayer with them, and heartbreaking times of just thinking about how much they had invested in their time and their money and everything through this whole process. And I was reminded of this phone call that I received from my friend Chris, just in talking to Ryan and Crystal this week, and just the blessing of this new child that's going to be blessing not only your lives, but the lives of your whole family in this church. You know, I remember Chris calling me to say that they had just found out that they were not only pregnant, but they were expecting twins. And we both were in tears on the phone. And we were just so excited because I had seen the pain and the longing that then when the announcement was given, it brought joy. And I think sometimes we forget that the good news is good because we understand the bad news. And we're going to look in a moment at verse 11, but it's important that we understand that the reason we need a Savior is that we are all captive in our sin. We need a Savior who's going to not only forgive us, but deliver us out of the sin that separates us from a holy and a perfect God. When we long for something, when we have a need, or when there's some pain in our life, that is when the good news means so much more. Too often, I think we rush to the good news and we forget that the good news is good because we understand the condition we're in apart from that good news. Apart from that good news, we're all still trapped and caught in our sin without a Savior. But we know that just like the shepherds, we can celebrate the fact that God the Father sent His Son to be that chosen Savior for the world and for each one of us. Verse 10 goes on, though. There's the announcing good news that will bring great joy. And that last phrase is so significant. That will be for all the people. Not some of the people, not just for those that are here, not just for those of a specific denomination or a specific ethnic group, but that it would be for all people. I quoted from Revelation 7 last week, and I just love this image because I think it connects so much with this truth that Christ came for all people, is that we have a picture in John's revelation, in John 7, of a picture of worship when he says in verse 9, "After this I looked and behold a great multitude that no one could number from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in white robes with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, 'Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb.'" We know that just as much as we look back and celebrate the birth of Christ, the birth of the Christ child, we also look forward to a day that people, including us, if you've entered into a relationship with Christ, you've put your hope, your trust in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what ethnic group you're from. It doesn't matter where you grew up. It doesn't matter where you presently live. There is a day coming when every one of us who follow Christ as Lord, every one of us will gather around the throne from every tribe, with people from every tribe, tongue, and nation, and lifting up our praise to Christ. It's not just for us. It's for everyone. Put this in perspective, I mean, think about it. It's not only for the American, it's for the African, it's for the European. It's why in the Alliance we send missionaries around the world, because we know that Christ wants all men to come to salvation through Jesus Christ. We have the opportunity to lift up this good news for all people. More lightly, we can say, Good news is for the Steeler fans, the Browns fans, the Bills fans, even the Oakland fans. Got one at least here, I know. But it's for the Republicans, the Democrats, the Libertarians, even the Green Party, the Independent. It doesn't matter what label you claim. The reality is this good news is for you. I don't feel appropriate to get too deeply into some of the thing that was all over Facebook this week, especially with kids in the room. But, you know, the Duck Dynasty issue that's going on, I think one of the things that I just keep coming back to that I think is so critical for us as a church and as believers is that we are always making sure that when we speak truth, that we speak truth with grace and that we speak truth in love. Being right isn't as important as demonstrating love. If we can be true, we can have all the faith in the world, but what does 1 Corinthians 13 say? If we do those things without love, we're a clanging gong, a clanging cymbal. I want to encourage each of us to make sure that this Christmas season, to say even those people that maybe you had arguments this week with, or those people, even the term, those people, who you feel at odds with, understand that Christ died for them. And we have the opportunity to share that good news. And we have to, like Christ, be full of grace and truth. Not one or the other. Grace and truth in lifting up Christ and what he has done for each one of us. It's for all people. When we look at verse 11, though, we get to flesh out that picture of what the gospel really is. That it's not just the birth of a child that we're celebrating, but it's who this child is the reason we celebrate. Luke 2:11 says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." A Savior who is Christ the Lord. I want to look at there. I don't know if you may read through that and not realize there's three different titles given to Christ in this verse. We not only are giving the announcement of a child, but we're told that he is Savior, he is Christ, and he is Lord. The idea of Savior, that's someone who rescues, someone who is rescuing someone from danger. Some of you were laughing when I was moving the candles over, but you know, I've been working with firemen for over 10 years. I just have that mindset. I see fire, I see kids, it's not a good combination. But you know, that idea of rescuing, that we would send a fireman into a building to rescue someone, that really is a picture of salvation here. When we say that Christ is Savior, it means that he is our rescuer. He is the one who is rescuing us. And the shepherds and most of the Israelites at the time of this announcement would have thought that God was sending Christ to save them from Rome, to save the people, to save Israel from being under the tyranny of the Roman Empire, and that he would establish a physical kingdom. They didn't understand that God was doing a much deeper work. And God was sending his son Jesus to be the Savior of the world, not just saving us from physical domination of another group or empire, but that he would save us from ourselves. He would save us from our own sin. Romans 3:23 tells us that for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Every one of us have sinned and fallen short of his glory. Doesn't matter what the sin is. We all have different sins. A lot of us, if we were to put our sin out there, the sins that we've struggled with in the past or the sins you struggled with this week, the reality is every one of us have sinned. And because of that sin, it separates us from a holy and a perfect God. But Paul goes on in Romans 6:23, he says, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We all deserve death because of our sin. That we're all sinners. We deserve death because of our sin. But God sent Jesus, the Christ child, to be Savior. Sent him so that we could be forgiven. That Christ would take our sin upon himself so that we might find forgiveness at the cross and that we might experience new life in his resurrection. I want to ask you today, have you come to a point that you not only understand the term that Christ is Savior, but have you walked into that experience in your life? Are in this moment, are you trusting Christ as Savior? Have you put your faith and your hope, understanding that if you don't put your faith in Christ, that there is no other way? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. In John 14:6, there is no other way. And at Christmas, when we celebrate the birth of the Christ child, we celebrate the fact that God chose to send his Son, Jesus, so that we might be rescued from our sin, that we might be saved. That second term is the Christ. And the Christ is the Greek for the Messiah. This is the God's anointed one, his chosen one. And again, the Israelites, even the shepherds, would have understood and been longing for the Messiah to come, the one who God would send to deliver his people. If you ever read through the book of Judges, you see that God again and again would send someone, each of the judges, God would send to deliver his people Israel. But they understood that there was a Messiah coming, a deliverer coming, that was much greater than any of the judges or any of the kings in the Old Testament. That there was a Messiah coming that would be God's chosen instrument to redeem the world, to bring us back into relationship with God. God sent his Son, Jesus, not only as Savior, but as Messiah. And he is the anointed, the chosen one. It was God's plan. Sometimes I think we read the story of Christ and his birth and his life and then his death as if like it's just kind of all unfolding by accident. God had that plan from the beginning. From the beginning, even before creation, God had a plan. In 1 Peter 1:18-20, we know that Christ was chosen before the foundation of the world to be our Messiah, to be our Savior. Verse 18, Peter's writing, talking about how each of the people that he's writing to that have been redeemed, they've come to faith in Christ. He's talking about the change that took place in their life. He says in verse 18, knowing that you were ransomed from the futile ways inherited from your forefathers, not with perishable things such as gold, silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. He was foreknown before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in the last time for the sake of you. Think about that. That before the world was created, God chose a plan that he was going to send his Son, his very own Son, to live the perfect life and to be the perfect sacrifice to lay down his life for you and for me. 1 Timothy 2:5-6 says, for there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. There is one mediator. Jesus himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Paul in 1 Timothy is saying there is only one mediator. There is only one way that we can approach our Heavenly Father, and that's through a relationship with Jesus Christ, trusting in what he has done for us. This last word, though, goes on to explain what type of relationship we enter into. Christ is not only Savior, he's Christ, the Messiah, but he's also Lord. And the idea of Lord here is the same term that would be given to a king, any king. The idea of someone who exercises authority or gives command over someone. When we say that Christ is Lord, we're not just using a term to say giving him a title that is meaningless. We're saying that when we say that Christ is Lord, that he has the authority to exercise control, to give command, to reign. When I ask you, have you come to a point in your life that you've trusted Christ not only to save you, but that you've surrendered your life and embraced him as Lord in your life? Who's exercising authority in your life? Is it you? Are you calling the shots? Or have you surrendered to Christ and let him reign in you? You know, one of my favorite lines from any Christmas carol that we sing is from Silent Night. When we talk about Christ, who was Lord at thy birth. To think about that frail child. I mean, I had... opportunity to be in the room when Bryce was born by C-section, had the opportunity to see Katie born. Jana has a whole different understanding and memory of that experience than I do, which I blame it on the drugs. But But you know, one thing that's non-negotiable is when you see a child that's just been born. I remember with both kids thinking, I'm afraid to even hold them for the first time because I'd break them. Because they're so frail. To think that the God of the universe would come and take on the form of an infant in that frailty. And yet, even in that moment of being most frail, being Lord. It's such an incredible, incredibly beautiful picture of God's love for us and an incredible picture of what God's plan was from the beginning to offer his son for you and for me. And I want to ask you, have you come to a point that you not just say that you believe that he is Lord, but have you accepted him as Lord in your own life? You know, we can't look at the shepherds, we can't look at the story, though, without ending with one final point. I think this will be a perfect introduction for the worship team coming back. When you hear good news, you want to share it. I mean, I can still remember when we found out that we were expecting. We couldn't wait to call the grandparents. And I don't know what it was about. I don't know if it was always like this here at the church, but I think in the first year I was here, there were at least a dozen grandchildren born to some of you in the congregation. No, but okay. But you know, some of you, you've shared that joy, and many of you would come and you'd approach me on a Sunday morning, just so excited, you want to talk, share the good news about the birth of the grandchild. And I remember being so excited when I heard. I have a policeman friend from McKeesport who we still remember. He was there, I think, the night that we found out that we were expecting Bryce. And so that memory is seared in my mind. You remember that feeling of not only enjoying and celebrating the good news yourself, but you want to share it with everyone. And that's why I felt terrible. I told Ryan and Crystal, I said, you know, a lot going on today. Why don't we share that letter next week? And I thought about it afterwards, like, man, that's like torture. Like, why would I do that to Ryan and Crystal? They have this good news I want to share with you as a congregation. You know, we celebrate at Christmas the best news that the world has ever heard. That God the Father sent his Son as Savior, as Messiah, Christ, and as Lord. And we offer hope, we offer love and grace that the world needs. If anything, if you look at the news in the last week and just think of our history, we know that we need more of Jesus in the world around us today. And that will come through us. We don't try to push it to someone else. We try to live it. Let Christ live in us and through us. We, letting Christ living in us, the hope of glory, that is how this culture, this community, and this world will be impacted with the love of Christ. What we need to embrace him is Savior. Embrace him as Messiah, Christ, and embrace him as Lord. But then we go on to Luke 2:16-18, and look at what the shepherds did. We then go out and tell it. It says in verse 16, and they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning the child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds said to them. And then later, after they have their experience with the baby Jesus, they go out rejoicing. Rejoicing means they're giving praise to God and they're talking about it. Can you imagine their excitement to be able to, for telling not only their friends and family at that moment, but this is a story they would have told their children and their grandchildren. That God gave them the privilege to be there the night of the Savior's birth. When I ask you, in this passage, we know that the angels gave the announcement, announced the good news. The shepherd shared the good news. Are you sharing the good news in the way you live your life? Are you sharing the good news with your friends and with your family? Are you lifting up Christ during this Christmas season and making a difference? Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we are so grateful, Lord, that you choose, Lord, individuals, Lord, that we would really have never thought to choose in the story, in your story. Lord, including the shepherds, it reminds us, Lord, that you choose each one of us and there's hope for each one of us. But Lord, I just pray that today that we truly would not only have a renewed sense of joy, Lord, that the same joy and excitement that the shepherds would have had on that evening, Lord, that we would have a renewed joy within our hearts and our lives to know, dear Father, that you sent your Son. Lord, that we would have the very joy of Christ in our life as we embrace him as Savior. As we embrace him as our Messiah, the only mediator between you, a holy God, and a sinful people. And Lord, as we surrender our lives and embrace you as Lord, Lord, we just pray that you would fill us with your joy. And Lord, that we would truly be able to go and to tell people of the hope that we have found in you. And Lord, that we might share the good news of Christ this Christmas season. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.